This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Anytime you hear Dave talking through the intro, that means something's wrong. Are we good to go? Okay. Maybe I was hearing things. It could be.
No, not just talking, but cursing, going behind the scenes, cursing, going, oh, and I'm like, okay, what's happened now?
I knew it. I was like, oh, this is. Whatever, Dave. Whatever. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We hope that you survived. If you were watching last night's stream, today we hope that you thoroughly enjoyed that. We did. It was fantastic for us, and it was a good time. But let's say hello to our guest of honor this evening. He is actually he's one of the most prolific flat earth debunkers on YouTube now. I mean, got just blown up everywhere, and his videos are fantastic. I've actually been looking forward to having you on for quite a while now. So finally it's here, and welcome Simon Dan.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we're gonna do kind of what we did, guys, Sunday with a little bit of difference, because we're not unless you know what, Steve, do you want to try your shot at some impressions tonight?
I'll give it a shot, but I can't do impressions well. I mean, I can't even do a Southern accent. I can't do an English accent.
I know, that's
accent.
Why I want I you to do it. Do an American accent.
You want that's me to do an acapella too? I can sing. Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I'll figure out something. Sure, why not?
Okay. Let me look at the calendar real quick. We have prison reform tomorrow at 8. Thursday, another big night. Aaron Rott is coming back, and he is going to have a debate with Reformed Christian apologist. Hopefully, my hope this time, and I think that I can pretty much say this with confidence, that Reformed Christian apologist is not going to get drunk prior, like the last person that came to debate Aaron Raw, and we're actually going to have a debate this time. That's a pretty safe bet, isn't it, Steve?
I really wish he would, though, because I would like to see Reformed Christian apologist. That would be
very funny. And then that's all we'll go with for now. I told Steve before the show tonight. If you remember, about 2 months ago, we had Logic on here, and we had a discussion with Shannon and Casey, and we were talking to a couple people that identified as an incel. Well, I had originally talked to the guy who runs the website incels.me. He is the owner of that website, and I was trying to get him to come on to talk about that, since that's where all of them are. Like, literally, that's the the base for an incel. And he didn't seem too interested at the time. Well, last night I got an email from him asking if I was still interested in having him come on and talk about that. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So interestingly enough, we also on next Friday, I had Christy Winters, who is a very well-known feminist, booked. We were going to talk to her about, you know, some of the things with feminism now, but I got to thinking that right there would probably be a really good combo. So next Friday we will have Christy Winters and the guy who runs incels.me, and we'll see what happens. What do you think, Steve?
What could possibly go wrong with that combination?
A lot, probably. A lot.
Probably. Exceptionally amount. Yeah, I know. I was looking forward to Winters too. I watched her have a couple of discussions with a few people like Sargon and a few other people. She's very knowledgeable in what she talks about, mm-hmm. to say the least.
Yeah.
I guess I agree with her on a lot of things, but she's very knowledgeable.
Those are the fun ones, though, when you don't agree. So tonight we're going to do a segment that we're calling Plain and Simple, and it is for those actually, Dave, I believe we have a better explanation of plain and simple, right? Because this is going to be for the people who believe in a plain model, who are very simple-minded. So plain and simple is going to be what we're doing today. We're taking 8 videos made by Flat Earthers Around YouTube, and I just kind of picked out some really, I think, teachable moments. We're going to go through them together and see if we can't suss out where they're wrong or maybe help them out a little bit. But I was, you know, like when you go to a restaurant, Dan and Steve, and you get an appetizer, or you're at a party and somebody carries around a tray of hors d'oeuvres. Like, you need something to kind of get you in the mood and to, you know, get the creative juices flowing. And so I was thinking, like, what are the two most cringe inducing things on YouTube? Steve, can you give me one?
Rain Florence.
Well, because there's going to be a long list of this, like, we could go on this forever. I thought, what if I Google Flat Earth ASMR?
Oh, good God. Why would you do such a
thing? And would you believe that there is a Flat Earth ASMR? Not only that, though, I have to give the guy credit. The name of his channel is absolutely genius. All right, it's ASMR Artica. Like, it's ASMR and then Artica, like for Antarctica. But he takes the ant out and put ASMR on it. It's genius. So let's go ahead and kick it off. Let's have our appetizer and see what Look at that. Look at that. It's Smartica.
Is he whispering? Hi. Is he whispering?
Oh, yeah. That, today, oh, hold on, Dave. Simon, Dan, like, do you know what ASMR you is?
Wow. Kind of, but that whispering?
Yeah, it's not even just the whispering. They make weird noises from everything. Like, everything is like supposed to be this weird audible thing that you're to pique your senses, like paper crunching, yeah, like, you know, just like, you know, feel like, yeah.
So there's a guy who did, it was on one of my, what's his name? The Lord Stephen Christ guy.
He oh, was God. A bit
like that.
Ooh. He there's was, so much like, to unpack
whispery
there.
Tone.
A lot.
What they do, like, what they do is they do simulations. So, like, if you Google ASMR, you'll get all kind of things. There's, like, being taken hostage simulation, buying games at GameStop. Simulation, and they're doing this like, okay, I'm gonna need you to get in the back of the car. I'm gonna duct tape your wrists. It's so creepy. Just watch
Kyle
what this dude does to the globe.
ASMR stuff. You have gone way down the rabbit hole that somebody had put in the live chat trying to do research on this. I don't know if there's ever gonna be recovery for you now.
Well, this is going to be a game for me now. What we're going to do next week is we're going to have a thing where we're just going to have random people say, like, we'll ask them a question, and they'll say what the first thing that comes to mind. And then we're going to pair that word with ASMR to find out if it's – is it ASMR? So that's going to be a cool game coming up. But Dave, let's find out what this guy does to the what this guy does to the globe.
The globe. Or this particular globe. So it's quite old globe. I'm not sure exactly where it's from.
All right, Dave, you can pause there and then go to the next one. But while we're getting the next spot in this queued up, do you know how many? I want you to take a guess at how many subscribers this guy has.
700,000.
126,000.
That's ridiculous. What?
100. He has more subs than any of us in this room, and he's whispering into a microphone and tapping on a globe, going, "Look at this globe. Look at how lovely this globe is."
You know what video Kyle's going to make tomorrow, don't you?
Yeah, I've just noticed. I had a globe really similar to that when I was a kid. The globe with the light inside it. It's almost identical. The colors.
There you go.
But you didn't. You didn't think about doing ASMR with it.
No. I was only like 11, I think.
Because he's normal. All right, Dave. There's just a couple more seconds left for this. This was just to get the dude just going. Looked.
But I think.
Okay. There's this one last. Dave, we'll skip C. And just going to the video number two, I was looking through his videos and I came across this. This is a 10-second clip right here, but it's too good not to include. Now, he's on Google. Basically, his channel, what he does is he's either drawing maps or he's visiting online maps like MapQuest or Google Earth or looking at atlases or globes. Like, he just rubs his fingers around geography. But that's his thing. But listen to this little tidbit that he gives everyone in this video.
And did you know that if you type in the word bus station on Google Maps, then all the bus stops will show up like this? On an iPhone.
128,000 subs. Yes, this video has like
you've opened up a door for me, man.
Shut it fast, trust me.
All I'm saying is this: look, like I feel all of us here work. We work hard at what we do, and putting something together and putting videos together and that sort of thing, like getting everything to go and good. And it just really is very disheartening when someone that is going, look at Google Maps. If I type in words in the search thing, the words will appear when I type. He has that many subs. It's just a little disheartening, is all I'm saying.
Carl, do you subscribe?
I thought about it, but ultimately, I couldn't do it, man. Only because, like, I want to see like where he goes next. Like, how can you top tapping a globe? And towards the end of that video, he starts like fingering an island. Like, he's like, look at how rough the islands are. Like, they're just so rough. So, I mean, I couldn't do it. Dave, man. People in the live chat want to know if you can turn, or Simon, Dan, maybe you can do it. Turn your gain up a little bit. I think you're kind of quiet going out.
He's practicing for his ASMR video.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That better.
Okay. All right, Dave, let's go. Let's actually get into some flat earth stuff here. Do you know who this is, Dan?
I do, yeah.
What are your interactions like with him?
Well, he's quite new on the scene for me. And he did a video and he kind of brought the attention of me and Greater Sapien about something or other. And The only real interaction I've had with him is I've set, because he does a food drive or something. So he kind of goes out and gets food for homeless people. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll make a contribution to your food drive. Where's the link? And then I didn't get a link. And then he spent about three videos bashing me for not doing it. And I said, and about three times I said, where's the link? And he carried on not giving me the link and bashing me for not, you know.
I was getting ready to, now that I know that he bashed you out, I don't feel bad. I'm back out of that. But while you were saying that he, you know, he does this stuff for the homeless or whatever, I was like, damn it, I picked the one flat earther that is like Good Samaritan here, and we're sitting getting ready to bash his argument to shit. But now I don't feel so bad.
Well, he does say that 10% of it or something, or 15% of it he has to keep for expenses or something like that.
Oh, good God. Okay, so he's a creep. I think we know what
that means. Well, Dave, let's go to 3A.
Okay, I'm going to try once again to convey why I see such truth in Christ, and when I read of what he talked about and when others talked about him in the Bible. I am not able to cite scripture word for word or even close, but I try my best to convey the story as honestly and, you know, verifiably as possible. And there will be people in the comment sections that can probably recognize and cite the verse in a comment, if anybody has questions, or just, you know, look it up yourself.
Now, all right, we can stop right there, Dave. Now, that sets what he's getting ready to say after this. The title of this video is Flat Earth. Flat Earth, I can't give you one reason why he lied. So that piqued my interest. I was like, well, what is he talking about? Somebody lied. So he's about to give you what his synopsis on who lied to him and why, and why it relates to the Flat Earth. But try to pay close attention to who he's referring to.
But there are a couple examples, you know, that I can think of off the top of my head that show, you know, how deceived this world is, how he told us this would be, and that we ought to heed the warning, you know. Pass us or forgive us our debts and debt, you know, that kind of disturbed me for a while. And maybe, you know, maybe that's all it is distraction, disturbance. Because what I see that stands out in that Lord's Prayer is where he says, in earth as it is in heaven. How can you be in a globe?
Boom. All right. There's question number one that the gentleman has. So he's saying that some people are saying that the earth that are Christians is a globe. This is his long story short, TLDR. But if you go biblically, like what the Bible says in the Lord's Prayer, it says on earth as it is in heaven. So to him, how can people be living in a globe, and that would also mean that heaven is a globe, and that can't be possible because people can't live in globes. So, Simon, then, why can't people live in a globe?
Why can't people live in a globe? Because it's a 3D shape and you can only go up, live on it. Well, you could live in a globe. You could live in a globe. In theory,
like a snow globe, yeah. We were talking last night, Steve and I. We go back and forth on this all the time. And let me get your opinion. What percentage of flat earthers do you think truly believe that the earth is flat?
I would say it's somewhere in the region of 40 to 60%.
That's exactly what I said, like verbatim, 40 to 60%. Thank you. That's exactly what I said, like word for word. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe that. I think it's a, ask I think anybody it's, like, who's it's gotta be like 95. I'm thinking it's like 95% of them don't.
It's never that high.
And I say that, but for the like for this guy, exactly this reason. How can you make a disconnect that much to where you're reading a Bible and you're reciting the Lord's Prayer, and obviously on earth as it is in heaven is not literally. You know, I'm like, how do you then take that verse and apply it to what the shape of the planet here is? These people are looking for every little thing that they can to, you know, fit their narrative and stick it wherever they can. But to me, it just, I mean, 40 to 60% is way too low.
There's kind of two camps, isn't there? There's the camp from the US, like, you know, the Nathan Roberts of the world and people like that, who have really are really entrenched in that biblical version of Earth. And you've kind of got the other camp over this side in the UK, who are in a more scientific vein when they're trying to figure it out. And some of those people, I think, possibly do know what's going on, but they're just in it for other reasons.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's fair. What do you think that it's? Do you think that it's as a movement is picking up steam, or it's kind of hit its peak and it's fizzling out?
I don't know. I looked at the Google Trends the other day, and it is going down. The search up. I mean, you can't tell much from the search, people searching it, but I don't know. There's YouTube is just a small part. There could be people in the world who aren't on YouTube who believe it. There probably is. So it's very difficult to gauge what's going on just from what I see. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more going on. It's difficult to tell.
And there's people the people funding it have to, some of them have to believe it, right? Or else why are they funding it? I mean, absolutely. I don't see any of them giving money to just people trolling. These people actually believe it, and they want it to be disseminated. They want people to be aware of it. And I think that it is probably somewhere in between 40 and 60. Now, again, completely wrong on that. But some people believe it, and some people just oppose. And it's hard to tell the difference. It really is.
Absolutely.
Before we move on to his next point, what made you get into the flat earth like realm? Like, what was it that made you decide to you know, kind of come at it from that angle?
It was a kind of a mixture of I barely used YouTube before, just for the odd video here and there, but I kind of got into a couple of channels. Cosmic Skeptic was one. And he did a video once on flat earthers, and that's when I thought, how is this, you know, what, how is this even possible? Why are these people? And then shortly after that, I saw a video, but I don't know if you've heard of him, Second Clancy.
I haven't.
He's a YouTuber. No, he's really funny. Kind of just reacts to different stuff on the internet. Has done a lot of SJW stuff. He did a flat earth one, and it was hilarious. And I thought, how can these people believe this? And I thought, I'm gonna make a video. It just came to my head. I said, I'm gonna make a video. And I had a look, and I saw a D Marble video. I thought, right, D Marble's gonna get it. And that was my very first video. And
that's awesome.
The idea was to do all of the conspiracies, but the next week I did another flat earth one, and then another one, and it kind of carried on going and going and going, and I haven't really stopped.
It worked for you, though. I mean, you found it. How long have you been doing it? How long have you been on YouTube?
My 1 year anniversary was the 5th of December.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I didn't make my first video until January.
Yeah, that's exactly how we did. We're like a month in between when we opened the channel, when we uploaded our first video. What was I going to say about D Marble? I can't remember if I put D-Marble in here or not. Maybe I did. Let's go back and see what this gentleman has left for us. I think there's one more on this one, right, Dave? The 7 to 7:30. He's very intense.
Don't look at it as, how is this book deceiving me? Look at it as, was Christ telling me the truth? And then look at the world around you. And I haven't found anything that I can deny that he told me. Thus, he is the truth. He is my Savior. All credit goes to him.
Okay, so I put this out there to make a point. There are, I think, like Dan, you alluded to earlier, there's a certain group of the people who think that the Earth is flat that make that that claim with no basis in any sort of reality or backed up by evidence. It's strictly because he read it in a book. He didn't see where the book lied to him anywhere else. Therefore, the Earth is flat. And to me, I think that that's the hardest one to fight against. You know what I mean? Like somebody that when you use faith as a reason for why you think the Earth is flat, which a lot of them do, you really can't battle that. Do you deal or have you come across people that you've had interactions with where maybe you've had a dialogue where that basis was in the faith side, not that the, you know, NASA's lying or that the, you know, the evidence is wrong.
Yeah. A little bit. It's difficult to find those people that are purely that because a lot of them will jump on the NASA thing and the 200 proofs and flat earth clues and all of that. It's very difficult to find people who are just faith orientated, but they do pop up on my channel and my comments quite a lot. And I very rarely engage.
Yeah, that's probably, because it's just probably
not,
smart.
It's not, yeah, it's not, you're not going to win it.
Yeah, because they're not looking at the data or the science or the math or the physics.
Just absolutely not.
Some completely different program. And this guy's a slow talker as shit. Have you noticed that? He just seems to talk really, really slow. I can't stand that.
His corner is like more entrenched than mine, you know? I get stick for sitting in my corner.
Well, you know, I'll give you a spoiler alert. He's going to make an appearance with a vengeance here in a couple of videos.
Nice.
Dave will play that one at double speed so that Steve doesn't get triggered. Remember this guy, because who you see in the next one when he comes back around, it's not the same guy. He rages out in that next one. Okay, so there's this this next video is really for me unfortunate because I think this guy he's got the most gorgeous eyes I have ever seen in my life, and to watch this video and hear the things that he's going to say, it's just heartbreaking. But he is a flat earther. He is angry that us people who believe that the Earth is a globe laugh and don't take them seriously. So he is putting forth four questions that if we globists were serious about this debate, we would answer, but we can't. So Simon, Dan, maybe you can prove him wrong, but he has four very serious questions that he wants to get through.
Okay.
It's just like whenever you ask them something, they can never answer it themselves. They never, you know, have any type of response to it. They just laugh at you, or, you know, they say, oh, whatever, that's a dumb question, ask so and so. But a few simple questions that, you know, everybody should be able to ask themselves.
Maybe we should play him at double speed too.
One being, like Neil deGrasse Tyson says, you know, for some of the proof that we went to the moon.
Well, if you look at it, that, you know, They use the exact fuel necessary to get to the moon and back. It's like, all right, fuel is used to power things through oxygen and combustion. You know, the combustion of the oxygen is used to power a car off of the air through fuel. A boat uses water, the friction of water, you know, to move forward for thrust. An airplane, same thing, uses fuel because it uses the combustion of the oxygen. Only problem with space is it's a vacuum.
Okay, so pause right there, Dave. That's question number one, Simon and Dan. How can, if space is a vacuum, how can combustion be happening and ergo movement in space?
Well, first off, why would you not use the right amount of fuel? Why would you put, you know, 200% more fuel than you need into your? I mean, it's yeah.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that aspect of it because he did mention Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
At the beginning, he said, you know, we use the exact amount of fuel needed. Makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, it's Newton's third law, isn't it? Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. I can't remember the name of the exact fuels, but there are two fuels that when mixed react without the need for combustion and produce the force required to go in space. It's this Newton's third law. I mean, it works. I've seen, you must have seen the videos of the, I saw the one with the guy who put a fan in a vacuum. He put a little mini fan in a vacuum and like a small, some sort of like paper thing next to it. And because the fan didn't blow the paper in the vacuum, rockets don't work. That was his.
That makes sense. Steve, do you dealt with propulsion and stuff
I worked with rockets, SM1s, SM2s, and harpoon missiles, which is a form of rocketry. The first thing is, well, first of all, oxygen doesn't combust. Oxygen is an oxidizer. The fuel combusts. Absolutely. And it's not just there's law. It's the law of conservation of linear momentum. You've got something pushing forth on one position in a vector, and you're going to have mass being ejected off the back. What's going to happen to the overall net force? It's going to be in one direction. It doesn't have anything to do with a vacuum whatsoever. The reason why they use an oxidizer is so you can have most, I mean, there are fuels that have oxidizer built in, but usually have liquid oxygen or hydrogen peroxide or something else that acts as an oxidizer, and that allows you to have combustion in a combustion chamber in those types of rockets. You don't need to use the outside air or anything in a vacuum for those particular reasons. So yeah, I love the fact that he says that nobody's able to answer this. You know, he's like, the first thing he says, like, you ask these questions, they think they're dumb questions. They think they're dumb because most people learn these things, you know, in school. But
that's going to be a common thing
for an adult ask,
by the way. Just get ready for that. That's going to be a common theme. Most of these videos start out with no one can answer this question, or I haven't heard any serious responses to this yet. Even though, like, where did I put that paper? Last night I was getting ready, I was going through and picking out videos, if I can find it. But what I did was I made almost like a graph chart where I put the flat earth arguments, like, laid out, where you have the main arguments that they have, the arguments that they go to when they get confused, the their staple rebuttals that they have. And it's literally like 16 points. If you go and you watch Flat Earth videos, they all revolve around 16 different points of contention. You know, there's the gravity is not gravity, it's buoyancy and density, or is it a dome? But there's not that many different arguments that you can go to. And what I've seen is that when they make these videos, they're trying their best to stand out, I think, to a certain extent, to make it make it so different that they get noticed. Like they're each kind of manipulating their own little corner of one of those 16 points. And to me, it just looks like they're all over the place. Like no one knows what what flat earth exists for the people who are on the flat earth side. You know, is it a plane? Is it a disc? Does it sit on pillars? Is there a dome? Is there a firmament? They're all over the place. What do you think about that?
They don't necessarily say the Earth is flat. A lot of times, they just say, "I know it's not round." That just drives me nuts.
Yeah, not a globe. Not a globe is their big thing. Isn't it? Yeah, the British ones. I don't know. You find that quite a lot over here that they say we don't know what anything is. We don't know what the sun is. We don't know what the moon is. We don't know anything like that. We just know it's not a globe. That's what they're like.
It's pretty much I don't know, and then assert anything after that.
yeah, but they think that admitting the fact that they don't know all this stuff gives them some sort of sense of intellectual honesty, which then other people will link to and say, okay, yeah, this guy's saying, I don't know what it is, but I definitely know it's not a globe. And here's his proofs, ABC. And to the normal person, that ABC might be like, oh, hang on, yeah, he's got a point there.
That right. I never thought about it that way. That does make sense. But to me, if you have somebody that's looking at, I mean, look at NASA. How many government space agencies are there around the planet? How many different private space agencies are there? How many employees work at those places? Like, you would have to literally have tens of thousands of people involved in this cover-up. And none of them would have had to say anything. Not one of them. In all the years that we've dealt with space. How is that possible?
They say for that one. I think that the higher level people, they're in on the conspiracy. But the ones below believe the higher up people. So there's a smaller amount. This is their theory for it. There's a small amount of people in these agencies that know about the truth, and everyone else below them just believes what they think they believe, when in fact they don't. That's what they say quite a lot.
That's even more bizarre. Like, these people, like, you have scientists that are looking up in telescopes and, you know, looking for exoplanets and, monitoring stars and comets and all this. They would literally have to be designing all of these pieces to fit in with this conspiracy. It makes way more sense that it's just the way that it is, and that's what they're dealing with. Not that
it's like X-Files. Seriously, it is. It's like X-Files. It's like something's going on. Do you really want to know what's going on? Here you go. And it's all cloak and dagger underneath. So,
yeah.
Well, it's because they don't understand it. They need the conspiracy theory because that's their only way they can wrap their heads around it. I mean, like I'll point it out, if these scientists, right, the lower echelon people, we're not going to call them the higher ups, but the people actually on the ground doing this stuff and people creating these satellites, doing the engineering, working the math, working the physics, don't you think they're going to be smart enough to go, hey, we put all this effort in to make something work and, you know, we can point something to the sky and see if we're getting a signal from it. We can see if we're getting data from the Parker probe, right? You're not going to be able to fake these people. They're not idiots.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally. All right. Let's go to his next question. Dave?
Secondly, when a plane is told, you know, a pilot is told get to one altitude and stay there. So basically they get to an altitude of 30 to 40,000 feet, somewhere in between that, and they lock it in right there and they go straight the whole time to their destination. So if we're on a globe that's constantly curving because a circle constantly curves, the nose of the plane would, you know, stay straight and go off into space. They would have to, you know, bend down gradually to go.
We can stop right there, Dave. So, Simon, why? it's almost too much.
It hurts. You know,
I can't. When you go to an altitude and they stay there and they cruise to their destination, why are they not drifting off on into space and just continuing on a straight line?
Well, it's one of our magic words, isn't it? It's one of our magic words that we use, which means nothing to them. Can you guess it?
You want to start with a G?
Yeah.
Start with a G.
Yeah.
Ends in ibbity.
That's it. For me, there's three things that you have to combat against. One is gravity, one is curvature, and the other is our position in space and the fact that we're moving in space. If you can crack those three things, then They've got nothing else.
But maybe you can, like, I guess in his mind, he's thinking that if it, when a plane goes up, it's not correcting for the curvature that he thinks that, that it should. You know, it's not dipping down every, you know, every, you know, several thousand feet. It's not, you know, taking a dip to compensate for that.
Well, so the Earth's not 10 miles wide, is it? It's huge.
Right.
The reason is pretty simple. You need thrust in order to add energy into a system and make it go higher. If you're at a constant thrust, how are you actually going to gain altitude? If you think about this, if you want to gain altitude, you need thrust. But if you're at a constant thrust, you're not adding anything to it. You're going to see, you can stay tangential to the center of the Earth the entire time. And so you're not going to have, and when you're in level flight, I mean, you can control a little bit of things with your ailerons or elevators. I always get those confused, even though I have flight simulators. But if you're not adding any energy to the system, you're not going to go into outer space. You're going to stay constant around the curve.
What's going on in their imagination? In their imagination, Steve, what's going on?
Because they think that because there's a curve, that you're just going to fly into outer space.
Yeah, they can't. There's a fundamental lack of understanding in their own imagination when they're trying to picture these things. They're picturing a toy plane in a glow. That's what they're picturing.
Right. Yeah, well, they think like kindergartners.
Just to play devil's advocate, what would happen if a plane did try to compensate for the curvature? Like, what if it was dipping down every so how many hundred feet?
Well, it'd be pretty bad news for the plane, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would crash, right?
Yeah. I mean, the plane fell 100 feet. I mean, it's a hell of a feeling. You don't want to do that because you'd end up probably hitting the ground at some point. You'd have that really bad high pitch warning going, pull up.
It's such a shame because this, like I said, this guy's so pretty. It pains me that he's this dumb. All right, Dave, let's go to the next point. I know. I hated to do this. I really did. he's got a gym coming up here, I think. It's either this one or the next one.
He sounds better at two speed, though.
Also, the Earth's rotating, so if you're flying with the rotation of the Earth, you're basically like you're gonna have to go a lot faster than if you were going against it. You know, where it's rotating this way and you're flying against it, you're gonna move way quicker than if you were going with it. But that's not the case. We just fly, and it's the same time everywhere. There's
okay. So, when you fly with the atmosphere against the grain, you should, in theory, have to go faster to compensate it. Yet we're able to take flights to and fro same amount of time. So Simon, then why is it not harder to fly through? I don't know what he means by against the grain, but I think he's saying like a steak, you know, you cut a steak one way.
Well, I assume he's talking Coriolis. So he's saying, why can you not fly kind of into that force? I guess that's what he's talking about.
Maybe. I mean, you're as good as mine. Well,
go with that, man.
The Coriolis force is not that powerful. If you're going to talk about flight, you know, it's going to be less than a mile an hour worth of wind. So it's nothing in terms of, it's not an issue for a plane.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say
a little lag. You go ahead. You go ahead, Simon.
The atmosphere is rotating with the Earth. But then you say that, and they say, "Well, it's not possible because how come I can fly a how come I don't fly a helicopter and take off, and then the Earth rotates beneath me, and I'll just land again at my location?" They don't understand what's going on. They're putting two and two together and getting 28.
Well, see, I thought that this is what I thought he meant. I thought that he meant kind of what you just mentioned or alluded to. The atmosphere is spinning in a certain direction with the Earth. So if you're a plane that's going with that, with that atmosphere in the direction that the atmosphere is going, it would give you kind of a boost. Now, if you turn that plane around and you were flying through opposite of the way that the atmosphere was spinning, that that would give you some sort of drag or slow the plane down. So that's what I thought he meant by going against the the grain.
Yeah, well, it's just the
I don't know why they can't grasp the fluid.
No,
they just can't seem to grasp.
They don't get anything. It's just I can't. Oh dear, they've got no clue.
I think that on the next one, Dave, I can't remember if I put the one that we've. Go ahead and play it. We'll see what he says.
For example, gravity is the reason they get for why everything is rotating around each other, like the Earth around the Sun.
There's a G word.
Etc. But yeah, we've never seen anything on Earth at all that has any similarity to that. There's never been a big boulder, a big mountain, a big mass that has even had a speck of dust or anything revolve around it. So to say that science is not repeatable, so, it's not observable.
Here's the next question. If the planet is a model for how gravity works and how it can catch things and keep it in orbit and keep things, you know, kind of pressed to it. Why is there not a mountain that exists that has little boulders that just orbit it all day long? Like, at what mass do you have to get something to where it will have a gravitational force enough to keep it in that that area?
Gravity is immensely weak, and the planet that we've got, as big as it is, you know, you can lift it. I can lift my phone off my table with a great ease, and it's a huge planet. So, you know, large mountains do have gravitational pull, but it is minuscule in compared to the Earth's. It's like the water on the ball. They pour water on the ball, and they say, "Oh, the water's not sticking to the outside of this ball." Well, you've got a giant planet underneath you that is going to be attracting that water. So why would it stick to the ball? It's just, it's another fundamental misunderstanding of size.
That's actually the answer to that question. You know, Steve, how many times do we have people on this show ask that question? Why can't you make water stick to a ball? Dale asked that question when he was on here. Show me an experiment I can see in real time where water sticks to a ball.
Well, they all have the same fundamental misunderstandings. I mean, every flat earther I've ever seen doesn't grasp things like scale. They don't understand things like gravity. I don't know if their brains are not wired for it. I don't know if they had, you know, shitty homeschool. I have no idea to explain this phenomenon, but pretty much one thing that's ubiquitous between all flat earthers is the inability to understand these types of concepts. All of them.
Dave, we're going to go to video number 5. Now this isn't so much a question, but I got Tau City Alpha did another amazing job on his Flat Earth Full Retard Mode. If you haven't seen it, you need to go see it. But I had never heard of this gentleman. Yes, he's amazing. You've probably seen this clip then, and I just wanted to appreciate it and for what it is, because to me it's just absolute gold. It sums up everything about the Flat Earth movement. But the guy that Anthony Riley's talking to in this clip, we're actually going to get on because he just – go ahead, Dave, go ahead and play the tape. I'll let it speak for itself.
Anthony, Steve, the triangle has the sides 1 and 1. Do you know what the angles of the triangle are?
Which kind of triangle are you on about? Are you on about like a right-angle triangle?
The triangle has sides 1, 1, and 1. Do you know what the angles are?
The angles would be – well, it would be an equilateral triangle, wouldn't it?
Right. So what are the angles? I'm going to ask this again. If you have a triangle with sides of 1, 1, and 1, what are the angles?
I'm going to pull up a triangle calculator.
Let's do this again. Anthony, a triangle has sides 1, 1, and 1. What are the angles? Is somebody recording this? Because this is just priceless.
Well, it's not giving me any when I do it. So this calculator is wrong, or you're wrong.
We have a triangle with sides of 1, 1, and 1. What are the angles?
Yeah, so that's an equilateral triangle, right?
Right, so what are the angles?
Does that work on a right-angle triangle?
The sides are 1, 1, and 1. What are the angles?
When is that ever used in astronomical calculations for measuring trig?
I'm not going to tell you that until you answer my question. The triangle has sides...
Not relevant. We use right-angle triangles to calculate the distance things, right?
We don't even need to use right-angle triangles.
Okay, let's have it for a second. What you're describing only works with an equilateral...
Just for a second.
Anthony,
let's appreciate for a second what we just witnessed. This is a guy that will get on Flat Earth Debate every day and try to explain why we're all wrong. Like everybody, you know, Steve, we're just a show that shields for NASA. Simon Dan is a shill that is incorrect about what he does, conspiracy cats. So Simon, don't you feel a little redemption there based on anything that Anthony Riley has ever said when he can't figure out as something as simple as the angles of a triangle and being asked 9 times?
It's a beautiful piece of beautiful piece of video. There's no doubt about that. He really does convey an air of excellence when it comes to what he's talking about. But half the time it's absolute gibberish. He did, I don't know if you remember, he did the science exam with conspiracy cats. You remember that? Did you see it?
Science exam? I don't think I did.
Yeah, so it was one of the first things conspiracy cats did was he did a science paper with Anthony. So a GCSE science paper, so that's 16 years old here in the UK. And he literally passed it by like one mark, I think. But he did give Anthony the benefit of the doubt, because you do get marks for written communication. So he gave him the marks for written communication. But I'm highly doubtful he would have got those marks if he actually did the paper.
Oh, that is gold. So he actually did it. Wow.
Yeah, they went through it. They went through it online. But now seeing this, I really want to set him a maths one.
You have to. To me, when I saw this when Tao did this video, I was watching it, and I think it was actually that same day I had listened to Flat Earth Debate, because it was the Monday after Conspiracy Cats had been on the show. So they were going to be talking about him and kind of how he did. And he just went on for an hour about how we couldn't do the math correctly, and we had the, we didn't know what we were talking about in this area. And then this video came out, and I'm just sitting here like, literally for 6 minutes, he cannot answer the question about the angles of that triangle.
Would you have been impressed, be honest, would you have been impressed if Riley would have said, are we talking about Euclidean space or non-Euclidean? Would you have at least been mildly impressed if he had at least had something as kind of nuanced as that?
A bit.
Angles 180 Euclidean, but obviously not in non-Euclidean. So that would have been impressive. I would have at least been going, okay.
He just when he starts shifting over to it doesn't work on a right triangle.
Obviously, it's a different triangle. He wants to know what the angles of that triangle are.
I don't think he can figure out the angle of the right triangle either. I don't think that he was able to do that. No.
Let's find out if he does.
Yeah.
Let's find out if he does.
The fact that you can't answer these simple math questions, crap you, is ridiculous.
Why can't you just apply it to right angle triangles?
Fine. 3, 4, 5. That's a right angle.
How do you know it's a right angle triangle?
Because 3, 4, 5 triangles are right angles.
So
it physically is. There's no other triangle it can be.
All right. Well, I don't know that's true, so I want to test it. How do I test it?
I don't know if that's
okay.
True.
So for the other people playing at home, maybe you can answer these questions while Riley's trying. You have a triangle with sides 1, 1, and 1. What are the angles? 60, 60, and 60. I heard somebody whisper. You're correct. Now, if you have a triangle with sides 2, 2, and 2, what are the angles?
Let's give Anthony a chance to respond.
Well, this is irrelevant. I've already stated my position.
No, it's not. You're
we don't use equilateral triangles. We don't use equilateral triangles to calculate the distances to stuff. We use right-angled triangles.
Much, I think, that's pretty much I think the issue the, here, Sleeping Warrior, Anthony, is that you don't...
If you want to, pause it. But when given the answer, and then the answer... Just put in a different, like, you know, the values changed, or all it has to do is a little bit of allocating for that. He still says, well, it doesn't matter because we don't use them in search for whatever.
That's the other thing they don't understand, ratios and things of that, conversions. They don't get any of that either.
Oh boy, that was gold though. Well done,
but this is off. That is literally. Like 12-year-old maths.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get taught.
I'm stupid as hell, but I was able to follow along and do those. Like, I can't math for shit. I mean, literally, I can't do math, but I could do that. To me, though, like he would be a lot better by just going. And you see this a lot in these sort of situations. If you just say I don't know, somebody will. You know, he can explain it to you and maybe you will have learned something, but they're not willing to do that. They're so ingrained in having to be right that he's literally willing to go, okay, I'll give you a right triangle. Here's a right triangle with 3, 4, and 5. Now do it. Well, how do I know that's a right triangle?
I think he's trying to come up with an experiment to see if it's a right triangle or something. It's bizarre.
It's just, It's disingenuous. All right. Now, speaking of charts and visuals, Simon Dan, our next example. It's a really quick one, but I want you to marvel at the graph work that this guy has done. So he's got the universe on the right, which is going to show us traveling through space, but then he's also put the directions of people if they were to walk around the globe. So let's see what this turns out to be. Go ahead, Dave. Oh, I think you went too far, Dave. Start at 58 seconds. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so he's asking the question up top, which way is up on the heliocentric model. He's making the argument that the Earth is the center of the universe and that it's flat. And the only way to know direction is because you're on a flat plane. If you're on a globe, when you're upside down, down is up is down, and then it's the inverse when you're either, you know, on the east side or the west side of the globe. So how are you still able to maintain up when put on different positions on this globe? That's literally how stupid it's getting. But how does that work?
Well, he's got the bias that it's flat and motionless. He's applying that to a different model. You can't do that. I mean, it's
let me ask you this though, like, because he says in this video, Steve and I had Reds and Jared and Team Skeptical on Sunday, and we had this girl asking a couple questions, and one of her questions was, if you're spinning through space and, you know, you're traveling at however many miles, you know, per second you're going, why don't you feel that? Like, why don't you feel any sort of movement as we're traveling through? Just so that we can go ahead and answer that if people are wanting to know that, who are listening. Why don't you feel any type of movement of the Earth?
Well, there's a lot of movement going on. So you've got the rotational movement, which if you talk about angular velocity, it's not that much at all. We've got the motion of going actually orbiting the sun. But again, we're talking now about actually feeling motion. So motion is felt usually through acceleration, not through constant speed. And our speed, for all intents and purposes, is constant. So for that respect, we don't feel that. and then you've got the movement of the solar system orbiting the galactic center. Same thing applies. It's just there's no acceleration or deceleration that warrants, and there's not enough of it to warrant feeding.
Yeah, that makes sense though. Like if you're constantly moving and you haven't stopped, like the planet hasn't stopped or had to restart spinning, you wouldn't feel that. What's that lady's name? Do you remember that girl's name from Sunday, Steve? Was it Dee?
No, I didn't. I didn't even catch her name.
She asked like all of these ridiculous questions, but in all of that, that was the one that I think, like to me, it makes sense to ask. Not that it makes that it's has any merit, but of all the questions,
people
can
get on board. Yeah.
That's the one that they kind of latch onto. Because it makes sense if you stop and think about it, or if you don't know, like you just explained how that works, it would make sense that wait a minute, I'm not spinning around, at however many thousand miles per second. But I just didn't understand. Like this guy, he's a Muslim flat earther. So what he does is he makes his videos based on how the Quran advocates for a flat earth, and then he'll put up like all these Quran verses trying to show the correlation between the Quran and the flat earth. But are there many flat, like Muslim flat earthers that you've come across? Because this is the first one that I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I've not come across any before.
Steve, no, I think we should get him on. I think it'd be good to have a conversation with.
Sure, why not? By the way, Simon, we just call this theory of down. By the way, because they don't understand down. Orientation. Yeah, so because they don't get that everything is pulling toward the center of the Earth. So whether you're on the North Pole, South Pole, Equator, it makes no difference. Your orientation is that the vector of gravity is going to be towards the center of the Earth. So we just call that they call it the theory of down. But I'm going to be calling it the theory of down too, because they don't understand
how it works. Again, if you can crack gravity with them, you're unlocking so much stuff. If you can prove to them,
what's the worst argument that you've come across? Like since you've been doing this and debunking flat Earth, what's the one like Jesus, the most ridiculous?
I've watched a lot of stuff. The worst argument.
We're just getting like, so much. It just couldn't be that.
There's absolutely. I don't know. There's literally so much bad. I can't
narrow down to something.
It's overwhelming. Explain the gate thing that you did, which was an amazing video. It was the most like ridiculous proof for flat Earth. What was that about?
Well, he was trying to model the globe, the northern hemisphere of the globe, using the gate. So the point where the gate swings was the North Pole, and then the further you got down the gate, the further down towards the equator you got. And he was trying to simulate the rotational speed of the Earth with that, which isn't a bad analogy. It's not a bad analogy, but he was linking it to how we perceive stars in the sky, and that there should be different speeds of stars in the sky. And in the end, it was... There was just no. He wasn't adding that up from the rotation of the Earth and the movement of the stars in the sky. He wasn't kind of connecting those together with that experiment. And in a way, it's definitely not. I wouldn't say that's the dumbest though. I wouldn't say that's the dumbest thing I've seen in terms of kind of proof that they've got.
I'm going to put Delano TV for his comment about Hillary Clinton and the. the glass ceiling as the absolute worst. To me,
he has done it.
Yeah. I disagree. That was brilliant. I think that was actually brilliant in a way. So I can't call that the dumbest because I got to take into account that was actually pretty ingenious.
Do you think he's for real? Dan, do you think Delano TV is like an actual, or is that just like a satire parody channel?
It's got to be, isn't it? It's got to be. I can't believe, you know, he did a video where he drew a globe on the whiteboard and said the people in China, and then he drew the person on the bottom of the planet, you know, for someone in China. so he must be satirical.
Let's hope. But the sad thing is the way that the society is today, that actually might be the one real one, like the one that's committed to this. Because it's so outlandish. He's the same guy that said the helicopter, you could go up in a helicopter and just wait for, you know, your destination to roll on around and land there. It's bizarre. Okay, Dave, let's go to 7. I think this is our...
Call me Tease. So I just have a question for my globe earthers. And I say my globe earthers because obviously I'm a flat earther.
That's what we'll speak to, Dave.
It's flat. It is not round or pear shape or Blake, whatever you guys think it is, or whatever these.
Just to get it out there, the Earth is not Blake. All right, it's not pear shaped, and it's not Blake.
Did you say Blake or Blake? Because did she really
Dave,
say Blake?
Please back it up.
There's that higher speed. So can we I want to make sure we're not mocking her, you know, for unjustified
reasons. In real, for Steve, played in real time.
It is not round or pear shape or Blake, whatever you guys think it is.
Blake. It's okay. Let's go with that.
It's not Blake.
Not
please
Blake.
Proceed.
I agree with her. Whatever that means.
It is, or whatever these so-called scientists are telling you that it is.
So-called.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, I have a question. So, we're told that, or we were taught that the Earth rotates, right? True. Mm-hmm.
They were got to do her at double speed.
Globe Earthers, the Earth rotates.
All right. But
get to your question.
It only rotates once in 24 hours. What? The Earth rotates once in 24 hours? But I thought it goes around something. You know that sun thing? If it rotates around the sun? What? Or...
All right, Dave. Dave, you can pause it right there. Okay, so to recap. All this is doing is proving my point and my position when we first started this stream that 90% of them are absolutely full of crap.
I think she believes like this. No, I disagree. No, this woman doesn't understand concepts. She believes this. No, I think
she's
equating
a year and a day. Literally, that's what she's doing. She's putting a year.
Well, she's creating revolution with revolving, rotation, and they're not the same thing.
Right.
Rotation with revolving on the sun, they're not the same thing.
So she's saying that because it turns once in a day, it's also supposed to be going around something else, right? I've honestly got nothing. I've got nothing.
I don't even know how they think about this in their heads. I don't know how they even come up with something so absurd.
Imagine it's the imagination they've got. They can't deal with 3D space.
Do you think that's the case? Do you think they have conceptual issues? I mean, literally, because like
possibly.
Many of us have a test. We have to take tests, and you have to have spatial relationships, and you have to have abstract conceptions, and there's different other things that you're tested for. Do you think that some people, just for whatever reason, they do not have a very high acuity or ability to do spatial relationships or anything like that? And maybe they don't understand things like 3D space. They just unable to imagine it, process it, figure it out. And it is some kind of physical or mental limitation. I think that might be the case.
I always say that flat earthers think in 2D or even 1D sometimes. They've got no... I think the Morgul did a video once as a response to me. And it was about Venus, about seeing Venus later than you're supposed to see it. And in his rebuttal, he kind of got the cartoon picture of me and put me on one side of the Earth. And then drew a line to Venus, but he had to kind of draw the line over the curve of the Earth to get to Venus. So it was like a little bump in the curve. And he was saying, see, you can't see Venus. It was like pure 2D animation.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. So, that's what irritates me the most about this, about these situations, though. You have these people that admittedly say, like, how many times did she say revolving around or whatever you call it, or, you know, so-called this? They're admitting right there that they don't have all of the pieces of the information that they need to, yet they are an authority on it enough to be able to tell you that you're wrong, like that, that what you believe is completely incorrect. Yet the fractal piece of a claim that she has is enough to say, well, the Earth can only spin it can only spin one time in a day and night, and it's going around something else. So that don't make any sense. Earth is not a globe.
There are very few of them that have a complete understanding of what's going on. And the very few that do are the ones that you probably think aren't really flat earthers.
I would agree with that.
I would agree with that as well. But I've noticed the same thing on many other subjects as well. People that don't know anything about evolution think that they're able to correct biologists. People that know anything about astrophysics think they can correct astrophysicists. And yeah, it seems to be something true. that the people that don't even have my rule of thumb is this: if you can't even explain how the model's supposed to work, right, if you, let's say you don't agree with whatever it is, the Big Bang or evolution, whatever, you can't explain how it's actually taught, you don't explain it well enough to falsify it.
Absolutely,
I agree.
Bringing back Anthony Wiley quickly, he stated on a show the other day that he's debating a physicist in January, a university physicist. That will be interesting.
There's so many things wrong in that sentence right there. You know that, right?
Yeah,
wrong.
You know, I honestly feel bad for him. Like, this is the first time I genuinely feel bad for him. I mean, we just saw, I think.
I feel bad for the physicist. I'm just gonna
go. Dave, let's go ahead and hear her next lovely question.
If in fact, now let's just say the Earth is flat. Flat. Okay.
This is gold, guys.
Then we have the sun and the moon. And no, I am not putting up symbols. We have the sun and the moon. Right?
Watch this.
And I'm going to go down and imagine the Earth being flat and rotating like so. Rotating like so. All right,
Dave.
And the moon is
up here. To recap, if this is how we think of the sun and the moon like this, up in the sky, all we have to do to prove that the Earth is flat is just turn your hand over and then imagine your hand spinning back and forth. See? All done. Earth flat.
And she's what is that? Filming and driving at the same time as this?
Yes. Yes.
I still think she's throwing symbols.
But that, I mean, we laugh, but that is an actual thing that they believe. I think most of them do, that the Earth or the sun and the moon are 2 points above us, always in the same like plane together, and they just spin, you know, kind of out and inward, and that's how we get day and night. Is there any way that, let's say, the Earth was flat? Okay, let's just give them that. Is there any way that model would actually work?
Highly unlikely. You need to come up with all sorts of forces to explain why the sun and moon are doing that. Some of them don't even believe that they're physical objects. They think they're just lights. What's creating that light? What, you know, what? There's so many unanswered questions with that that it just can't be feasible.
The question that I have, if you had those two things, right? If you had the sun and the moon up in the sky and they were spinning around or whatever, would there ever be a point to which you would get complete darkness like you do, you know, like now on this side of the planet? Could they be spaced out far enough to where that was a possibility?
Well, I think...
I mean, if we were going to be hypothetical.
Well, they talk about it being a spotlight, don't they? So that there's a point where the sun is a spotlight and it only lights a certain portion of the flat disk. And they attribute the seasons to the sun kind of moving towards the center of the disk and towards the outside of the disk and having that pattern throughout the year. So that there's a different day length. So they think about it, they've thought about it. But again, what drives that? What force drives that? Because if it's not gravity, they have to have a force to drive that.
I hadn't heard that they think it's a spotlight. I thought that it was, they assumed it was, so they don't believe that the sun is an actual, like the, you know, anything that we consider, right? It's just a spotlight.
No, they don't think it's as big as it is. They don't think it's physical. Although the ones that maybe do think it's physical think it's small and close, which makes it appear to look like a spotlight. That's the problem. There's so many different versions of what's going on up there that it's impossible to attack all of them.
Who's changing that light? That'd be my question. Are they changing this light? All right, Dave. I think she's got maybe one more. I believe.
We'll measure that. I'm not here to debate that. I'm here to just make you think about...
Oh!
True logic, basically.
Okay, I remember writing this down now. This is the last point that I want to put with her, all right? Let's back that up one more time, Dave, so that Steve and Dan can really hear what she's... and actually do it on regular speed, because this is worth hearing.
What hour that is, I don't know if they've ever measured that. I'm not here to debate that. I'm here to just make you think about the true logic, basically. How, in fact, the Earth's spinning, and yet the sun and the moon are all...
So, the gold in this clip was that she said she's just here to make us think. And then she says about, and then there's 8 seconds of silence before she says true logic. That's irony. all right, Dave, last one.
There he is.
Yeah. Okay. Now, he's got a little bit of different attitude on this one. I've got four spots that we'll hit real quick. And listen to how his attitude's changed.
Okay, there's a reason when I have to break down the deception and obfuscation of reality by these globe proponents that I call it going back to kindergarten. There's a reason they start pounding the globe into our heads from cradle and have to continue to grow.
Okay, now that's just an introduction to this. He's going to pull out his props right here.
Maybe. Twirling fantasy world in your head. I'm going to prove it to you once again with basic kindergarten level science. Anyone that wants to can easily see if you...
Okay. Show it to us, please.
Hope doesn't. Okay? So let's go back to kindergarten, children.
Here we go. Are you ready? We're going back to kindergarten.
we have a fan representing the moving atmosphere of Earth going along
with the rotation
and orbit and hurling Milky Way motion of the Earth. Okay? Three different motions. So this fan, we're going to say our atmosphere is moving at 5 miles an hour. If we take this here handy dandy flag and move it at 5 miles an hour along with this fan, this flag will not blow in this direction because it is moving along with the atmosphere at the same rate. So the wind from the fan will not affect the flag. It'll just hang down, okay? I didn't draw that perfectly example, but this it'll just droop straight down because of gravity, right? So if we move it along at 5 miles per hour along with the fan, there will be no effect on the flag. It'll just be like you're holding it still.
Okay, Dave, go to the next time frame. He's going to sum it up right here. I just wanted you to get his prop. Like, he's taking us back to kindergarten by creating an experiment with a fan to represent the atmosphere that had nothing to do with kindergarten, but in his own words right here.
Viable and repeatable. So, unless you globe proponents can show me the car, the train, or the plane that Earth is traveling in through the galaxy, shut up with your planes, trains, and automobiles. When we do science, we can test the conditions of our outside world in the conditions of the outside world. And every single solitary time, that fan will show you. You cannot walk the opposite direction of a moving atmosphere.
Okay, so let's regroup. Simon, Dan, what's your takeaway in what you just witnessed there?
we've been schooled there, haven't we, guys? We've been taken back to it's similar to the first one, isn't it? I mean, he's saying that moving that flag away from the fan means it's moving the same speed as the atmosphere. And in actual fact, just having the flag still in the ground is moving at the same speed as the atmosphere. So moving it backwards or forwards is doing both the same thing. And the wind is going to be more of an issue anyway. So it's just completely irrelevant.
To me, the telling thing is that normally when you do an experiment, you actually do the experiment. Like, you actually show what you're saying. Like, he's taking a piece of paper and drawing an image of a fan and a flag going, okay, if I move this along, which he can't because it's not a real, it's a drawing, so it can't move. He's not even attempting to do the actual experiment. That to me shows you, that sums it up, his entire point. But he's got one last thing that he says in here that I couldn't resist putting in. So let's listen to that, and then Steve will get your take. Maybe.
I would immediately be hit with a 1,000-mile-an-hour wind. If you cannot realize that fact of reality, you're fucking insane.
Now, if we can't realize that I just wanted to let sit there and just kind of marinate with everyone for a few minutes. We're the insane ones, Steve. We're the insane ones. You're muted. You're muted, Steve. Muted.
Oh, I was going to say, I said that for having these types of discussions, there might be some validity to that.
That is true. What's your takeaway on his experiment, though?
Well, I don't know why any of them just don't bother to go take a simple basic course in physics, right? I mean, if you're in a car and you're traveling at 100 some odd miles an hour, you don't have 100 mile an hour winds in your face, right? The atmosphere inside the car is moving along the same speed you are. The atmosphere on the Earth has drag. It has the same speed at which the Earth is rotating for considerable distance. If you have something spinning in water, you'll see this flow that goes around with the spinning whatever bar or whatever spinning. You'll see it because there's a drag coefficient that's involved here. So these things are fluids. The atmosphere is a fluid. So we're just because the atmosphere is moving at a high velocity, we're not experiencing that. Now, if it changed for some reason, if the velocity changed, which would be the magnitude of the direction or the scalar directional thing, you have an acceleration. So acceleration is just a change in magnitude or a change in vector. Then you're going to feel that. Then you're going to notice it. So if all of a sudden the Earth stopped rotating, we would notice it. As a matter of fact, the Earth would pretty much disintegrate, obviously. But yeah, he doesn't understand these concepts that think about it in a plane too. He's been in a plane, right? If you're playing, you're going, you know, several hundred kilometers per second, you're not feeling that. Now, if the plane takes a dive,
where's the plane, train, or bus that the Earth's flying through space in, Steve?
I don't know.
Before we roll over to super chats, so, hey, man, Dan, who is the, like, if you had to pick one, who to you is the, I don't even know how to phrase this question. Is the like the poster boy or girl for flat Earth, but in the most in the worst way possible? You know what I mean? Just like a person with horrible arguments and is getting, you know, looked up to. Like, who do you see as the biggest threat in that? Not threat to, you know, any of the arguments on the globe side, but just threat as in being able to influence people negatively.
Well, you've got to look to the bigger channels, Globebusters, Jaron. They're big. They've got a lot of followers. But how many of those followers are genuine? How many are there to laugh at them? I don't know. But they are even like nothing. There's no setbacks for them. So even though Jaron has done all this stuff, he's filmed the ISS. He messed up that experiment at the end of the. Documentary that doesn't set him back at all, you know. And the Globebusters crew, like hundreds of thousands of subscribers, and they just know nothing, and it's sad in a way.
Do you think that Logan Paul was for real when he
Surely is he ever for real?
That's a good point. You know, and we haven't talked about that Steve, like on here, but we haven't touched on.
No, I don't. And I was actually trying to get Jacqueline Glenn to come on and talk about that. She had actually had a video discussing Logan Paul a little bit, and I wanted to get her take. And some other people, some prominent YouTubers and atheists out there that you know, have dealt with Logan Paul more directly. I don't watch any of Logan's stuff. I think he's just a twit. I have no interest in anything that he puts out. I've watched the one thing where he went in front of the flat earthers and said, basically, he agreed with them or something, and they all went fanning or something. And I'm like this is just total bullshit.
So, I mean, do you think it's real or just him being Logan Paul?
Well, it's got to be, isn't it? It's got to be him being Logan Paul. I mean, he had all the... It's like they gave him a crib sheet for the flat Earth stuff.
The talking points, right?
Yeah, and he memorized it before he went on, and he said all his stuff, and all 12 of them cheered, and then that was that.
The thing is, though, like, he's doing this at a point where he got in all that trouble with the forest thing. He was, on a decline, and he needed something to boost his popularity. And the one thing to do that is to get in with a group that, is the in out crowd, I guess is the best way to put them. Like they're the emo kids on YouTube.
But he's seen that there's popularity in that, especially in the US. He's seen that, and he's trying to ride it.
Yep. Maybe all three of, or I guess all four of us now. Ritz, are you in there?
I don't know how. I was just sleeping, and then I just found myself in this call. And
how do you keep getting the link? Yeah, I don't know how you keep getting in here.
You find your way in every. Have you and Simon met before?
We have spoken. Simon Dan is the guy that is like, hey, I'll invite you to a hangout. Oh, I'm sorry, old chap, I'm busy. Every fucking time. Every time.
Sorry, man. I roll out
the red carpet. I bring snacks. I bring drinks. You know, I have everything set up. And then Simon Dan is a no-show. I'm like, I see.
Reds never gets that shake in his voice around anyone else. I think you've got him. You've got him in all here, Simon.
I think he's been stood up on a number of dates, though.
I doubt it. Hey,
why is Dan any special?
Reds,
I mean,
set a date. Come on.
Yeah, how many dates have you been stuck from, Reds? I mean, shouldn't it be just like, you know, the average, you get everything all excited and you're waiting for that moment where, you know, you're going to pick her up and she gets, you know, oh, you don't
Steve,
get a phone call.
Steve, hold on. Steve, what happened in that case with you, my friend, is just part of really
cases.
Bad relationships.
Cases.
And you cases, have to let it go, plural. Man. You have to let it go.
Never.
You have to let her go.
Never.
Let her go. we were getting ready to wrap and read some super chats. But we'll go with Simon Dan first and see if you have any. I guess if there was somebody watching now that may be on the fence or maybe they're not sure of the shape of the planet, what would be the one thing you would say is either your strongest evidence or how they could make a determination, hands down, that the Earth is a globe?
Well, the first thing I'd say is don't watch any flat Earth videos because that research is the worst. And the second thing I'd say is you've just got to look up. You've just got to look up to see, because as soon as you do that, you can then realize our place in the solar system. You can understand what's going on. And that's the first thing. That's the first kind of key into understanding everything else. Once you can get that, gravity is next, and so on. There's so many things, like lunar eclipse. Lunar eclipse is not possible on a flat Earth. There's no model for it. There's no, you know, there's no explanation for it. The radial motion of stars. There's so much. I'm actually planning on doing a year-long experiment where I will be tracking the motion of Barnard's star, which has the highest radial velocity of any star that we can see. And over the course of a year, it kind of wobbles like that, which basically is because on one year on one side of the sun and the other year on the next year, on 6 months later, on the other side of the sun, and it kind of gives that wobbly motion. And I'm booking time with an online telescope to track that movement. Now, if that doesn't
they've tracked that proper motion for like 50 years plus and seen it actually move quite a bit in the proper motion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. If that doesn't tell you that we're orbiting the sun, then nothing will.
From a very eloquently put proof for the Earth, let's go to the not so eloquent. And Reds, you want to throw out some curse words? Just kidding. What would you say your biggest proof is?
My YouTube channel. That's the biggest proof. You can literally go there and you can see my Tampa Bay blink test. You can see the angular size observations I've done of the sun. You can see how I brought people from all over the flat Earth debunking community and shown Soundly's images of the Lake Pontchartrain Causeway. We were also able to measure the altitude of the International Space Station, showing that it actually is in space and therefore orbiting something. And here's the thing. In order for something to be orbiting another thing, the thing that's orbiting cannot be flat. That's not how this shit fucking works. And then
Reds,
on top of
you,
that...
Go ahead.
No. That's okay. Go ahead. You sound like you had something important to say.
You seem very tense. You seem very tense tonight. You seem very, very, very...
He keeps getting stirred up by Dan. Do you blame him?
Okay. Do you want to know what it is? I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock in the goddamn morning to sit in Orlando traffic to go see a rocket launch to end up getting scrubbed. On the way back, a tractor trailer flipped up a rock and cracked my goddamn window. So not only did I go to a launch that was 2.5 hours away in one direction, only for it to get scrubbed, but I now have a fucked windshield because of that, and I have to go out back out there again, putting my ass on the line so that you guys can get evidence that these rockets actually go to fucking space. They're not balloons. They're not fireworks. They're not firecrackers. Get your head out of your ass. Look at the shit that I am doing because you dumb fucks think the earth is flat. I literally am cracking
Breathe. Yeah, it's okay, Red, breathe, my friend, breathe. Okay, and by the way, I did hear that it got canceled, and I'm sorry to hear that. So
let's go to
let's do super chats before Red's dies.
Literally, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Okay,
you fucking noob.
Okay, just a second, pull these up.
While he's doing that, I'm going to say anacrescular weight raise of my one of the most prevalent, easiest ways of determining that the earth is not flat. Go look at the sun when it goes over the horizon and go look at the mountain. Look at the anticrescular rays and you'll actually, there's no ways around it. It's round.
Mm-hmm. I actually have anticrescular rays filmed from the sky. On my way back from New York City, I actually filmed myself flying over those rays. And guess what? It confirms that the earth isn't fucking flat. It doesn't because in order for the sun to be in that position in the sky, you would need a curved surface because on their model, the sun is about 3,000 miles up. At that altitude, with a disc as big as they say it is, it's not going to get that close to the horizon ever. That's not how perspective works. What they have is not called perspective, it's flerspective. Basically, whatever the hell they want it to mean.
That's what you did there. Very clever. Praxis May Salt. These names, man. Praxis May Salt Curiousus says, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Just me?
Okay. I clapped.
Wellington Smith says, Dan, just a little louder just a bit, which we took care of earlier. Cruising the South says, going around the world from cruising the South.
Yeah.
Is that possible? Can you go around the world from the South?
Yeah, you can go around the world in any direction.
There's four cardinal points, and pick any direction of those or combination or whatever way you go, you're going around the world.
You're going to go around the world. I mean, that's...
I, your satanic Kabbalist, Freemason, Illuminati overlord, am pleased with your faith in our globe lie. Your souls will never be returned. Mwahahaha.
Keep them.
I didn't lose my soul. I sold it on eBay.
What's this? The Friendly Atheist actually did that. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. They're
Baptist. And all they did was make him go to church. Kind of thing.
Also, for you guys who do these super chats, since I stumbled in here, I'm just going to say one thing, then I kind of have to get the fuck out and prepare for going back to Cape Canaveral for you guys. So, yes. Simon Dan, you do know of International Baller Day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm plugging it Friday.
All right, good. So I have a favor to ask of you for International Baller Day.
Yeah, go on.
If you could, like, instead of just announcing it, could you sing it?
Are you serious?
Sing it.
I think you look like the type of person that has a beautiful singing voice, and I would like for you to sing it for everybody.
I have a horrendous singing voice.
Even better.
No, don't worry, Dan. That is not fair. Reds has a history of doing this shit where he puts people on the spot to sing or wear wife beaters during a debate.
Which you got the wrong color.
There's no way you will ever get me singing. That's
bye, Reds.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, man.
Thank you. Let's get through this. We got to wrap this up.
forget what world was. Dan Pellino says Riley can't triangle. That's true. Low PNC one says, anyone else concerned that so many? Is there anyone concerned that so many flat earthers are black?
No.
No. I think dumb comes in all colors. The Atheist Coral says, PSA, don't film and YouTube while driving. Just stop. Yeah, Dan pointed that out. That's a good point. Drew's Daily Deal says, maybe give them a VR headset to figure out the 3D. That's a good point. 0132132, if Wolfie can film while flying, I can film while driving. Damn it. VRNCNGTRX, don't YouTube and drive. It's dangerous. You could drive off the edge. Everybody's more concerned, and I guess rightfully so, with vlogging and driving than the Earth's shape. So I guess that's a good thing about society. Like we're more concerned about their impending doom, not their long lasting doom. Jonathan Bunch says, hey guys, good shit, keep it up. Thank you, Jonathan. And Steven Steen says, when is Cyman's next debate with conspiracy cats?
He does this all the time. You think I don't know, we'll do something soon, but it won't be a debate, obviously.
Yeah. Y'all make a good team. I think the you guys are good. I told you this earlier, but the English, the accents to me, I think that when you're presenting something like trying to make a case for the shape of the Earth or presenting an argument, you automatically win by default with the accent. You know, it sounds much better. Like, you know, the Earth is not a globe coming from a British accent. So, but yeah, Dan, thank you so much for coming on. This was awesome. There wasn't any questions that we couldn't answer, which I wasn't concerned about. Yeah. But yeah, there people be advised that there are people out there among you in your everyday life, shopping next to you, going to school, you know, getting food next to you, that think that the Earth rotates one time in a day and it's done. And how do you fix that? That's all I'm saying. How do you fix that? But that's it for us tonight. Dan, please take a second and let people know where they can find you, your social media links, where people can go to follow you, and anything else that you want to put out there before we wrap up.
Sure. Yeah. I'm on Twitter at Simon Dan. And I've also got a Simon Dan Facebook page, so you can check me out there. By all means, if you want to chat with me, then, you know, send me a message. I'm happy to do it.
Excellent. All right. Steve, nothing from you.
I just want to put up there, I made a faux pas. I messed up because of time zones, because we don't live on a flat Earth. And the thing that I had scheduled yesterday, which to me would be Wednesday in Australia, is not Wednesday. Today is actually Wednesday now over there. And so unfortunately, I won't be doing tomorrow. I'm actually doing the interview tonight with Dr. Graham Opie on my channel in about 25 minutes tonight. Instead of tomorrow, it is going to be closed. I might have a few people come in, but we're going to be talking about his book, Atheism and Agnosticism, in great detail, running some arguments that I've had that people may know that have been making waves in the atheist community with him and discussing that topic. So if you're wanting to come over and listen to that, it'll be on my channel in about 20 minutes or so. I put the link in the live chat, and I'll put it in the video description later. But come on over there and talk about that.
I need to correct one thing before we close out that Steve just said. Not some people know that argument that you have. Everyone fucking knows that argument that you have.
Good. That's good. They should know.
All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow at 8 o'clock, where we will be something close to my heart. We'll be going with Nicholas Lamar's Sodor about prison reform and the need to redo how we do crime and punishment here in the States. So Simon, Dan, thank you again. It was lovely having a chat with you and going through this. Thank you. And hope to see you soon.
Thank you, dude.
Good night.
Non sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.